Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
The WEEI Sports Radio Network. You're locked in to the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
An excellent fit because Belichick loves veteran players that have gotten cut, that felt like they've gotten done wrong, whether it's Randy Moss, Corey Dillon, Rodney Harrison, the list goes on. I think this is a perfect opportunity. He's hungry. He's a big physical guy working with Josh McDaniels, who I would rate as the best offensive coordinator over the last decade at least in the National Football League. I think this is a great fit. Cam is a guy, and they have not seen a skill set like Cam in 20 years, okay? Longer than that, Belichick has not seen a guy with the size, the speed, the you know, just the athleticism, all the, you know, just all the things that embodies Cam Newton. I think it'd be a great fit for the New England Patriots.
All right, that was Rodney Harrison. You heard it this morning, or maybe you didn't. If you did, you did now, right here on WEI, they show every Saturday morning. Rodney Harrison and Brian Barrett and Fitzy with you. He says Cam Newton would be a good fit for the Patriots. You're not in on the Cam Newton bandwagon?
It's interesting because this week, Ken Laird, who right now is ever so predictably running the Greg Hill Show Twitter account saying that I'm killing Tom Brady for not being charitable enough. Isn't it just always so predictable? Ken had a good lead this week. He said it would make sense to him to bring in Cam Newton on a one-year deal because the twofold would be Cam Newton would get a chance under McDaniels and under Belichick, who has long been, or at least rumored to have been, enamored of his overall talent. Maybe not his quarterback play, but just the general talent and skill set that Newton has. Maybe Cam Newton could prove to the league, see, look, I worked with the best offensive coordinator and the best head coach, and look what I was able to do. I took the spare parts and bag of bones team that they had after Tom Brady left, and I guided them to 10-6. And at the same time, you would help deflect all of the heat that would come Stidham's way. Like Cam Newton, he's been to a Super Bowl. Cam Newton, big man. Cam Newton taking a lot of hits and obviously been under a lot of scrutiny in his time in the NFL. He can handle being the guy who follows the man. That's what they always say, right? You never want to be the guy who follows the man. You want to be the guy that comes after the guy.
For the next guy.
Exactly. So Cam Newton would kind of take the bullet for Stidham, and then you would give Stidham one more year to get ready if you truly believe that he's your next choice. And if he's not, Cam Newton plays, you draft someone else, develop him, and see where it goes. So I thought that was actually an interesting point. Would I do it? No. Rip the Band-Aid off, spend the money elsewhere, and see what you got with the kid from Auburn.
Yeah, it's an interesting conversation. Now, the thing that I would look at with Newton is, first of all, obviously, we all know that the salary cap would have to work out and all that, and Cam would have to take a massive pay cut, etc. But the thing that sticks out to me about the Cam Newton thing, from just a pure entertainment standpoint, for us as fans and for us especially in the media, it would be incredible. So Cam Newton, after games that he doesn't play well, mm-hmm. facing the media here instead of the media that in Carolina that was soft on him for years, to see Cam Newton after games, that would be entertaining. To see Bill Belichick.
How about his outfits?
Oh, they're horrible.
Like when he dresses like...
He's got a guy specially makes him hats in Los Angeles.
He dresses like he's in The Mask. He dresses like a Batman villain. He dresses like he's in a Tyler Perry movie. Like,
see, what I got to know
the
is...
The fifth quarters with Zoe and Steve Burton would be absolutely fantastic theater.
Right. And does he have two different outfits ready to go? Like if he wins and if he loses, is he more conservative? when he loses. So that would be interesting to me just to see right. how he interacts with the media, especially after losses, et cetera. Also, the fact that Belichick now, I remember when Jacoby Brissett got that start against the Texans, and Brissett's not even that athletic of a quarterback. And he ran the ball 8 times for like 50-something yards, and he had mm-hmm. a touchdown. Cam Newton is one of the best running quarterbacks in the history of the NFL. You had Jacoby Brissett that wasn't fast.
You're talking about that third game, the Thursday nighter, where they beat the Texans? Texans kind of fumbled it away. Bill O'Brien didn't, and Jacoby Brissett played well.
Yeah, and remember, that was the first game they wore those new all-blue color rush uniforms.
You mean the uniforms that are going to be their home jerseys starting this fall?
They are?
Pretty much, yeah. From what I've heard.
Yeah,
from what I've heard, from what I've heard, the new home uniforms will be along the lines of the color rush all-Navy home, and the new road uniforms will be along the lines of, like, color rush but all white.
Yeah. So anyway, so that element of having a running quarterback, especially with the team that the Patriots have now, because I believe that the offensive line is obviously going to be significantly better than it was a year ago. Getting David Andrews back, Tooney's back, unless they decide to trade him. Isaiah Wynn, I'm hoping that he's healthy to begin the season. So the line's going to be better. You're going to have a quarterback that could hypothetically run the football. And when I look at it compared to Stidham, which I'm okay with starting Stidham, but at the same point, when I look at it, Stidham has nobody to throw the ball to. Like, if you're trying to develop a young quarterback, right. this is not a good situation. You think about the weapons he has. Maybe N'Keal Harry takes a step forward. He's got to take at least a little step forward. He can't go backwards.
Mm-hmm.
Jacoby Myers, Julian Edelman at 34, and I believe Edelman's going to be a problem. I don't think Edelman's going to be happy here after knowing exactly where to be and Tom Brady throwing the ball to him.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think at the age of 34, this isn't young Edelman emerging as a star. This is 34-year-old Edelman. I don't think it's going to go over well when he's open and he's not getting the football. So I believe that could be an issue in and of itself with Stidham. So with Newton, at least there's a different element to the offense where he could run the football, and that's mm-hmm. all assuming health. But the entertainment value with the media, the fact that Belichick can run a different type of offense, and the fact that I believe it's going to be awfully difficult for any young quarterback to succeed in this offense with basically no weapons, for all those reasons, I'd be on board with getting Newton for a year and seeing what he can do.
Okay. I mean, there's validity to it. I don't think he's the long-term answer.
Sure,
I don't think it's going to stunt the growth necessarily of Stidham, Stid the Kid, Stiddy, as McCourty calls him, Stud'em, as Mark James likes to call him. I don't think it would necessarily stunt his growth. And, hey, he might be able to learn something else from someone else. Like you pointed out during the break, they both played for Gus Malzahn, the Auburn coach. So, you know, maybe they'll be able to relate to each other, or maybe this could help diversify Stidham's game as well. I just think it's going to end up costing too much. And right now, the Patriots, who have, I think, $800,000 in cap room, who need to free up at least $2.5 million so they can sign their draft picks in about a month's time, they need help in other places too. And it's not just at offensive weapon or pass catcher. I don't think Edelman's going to be a problem, though. I see the point you're making in that. Is he going to be frustrated? I mean, he was a good guy this week doing Foxborough Forever on his Instagram, saying like he's committed to staying here. He's not going to fight or bitch his way out of town. He's not going to go, you know, tuck his tail between his legs and follow Brady to Tampa Bay. He'll do it here. I think he is going to be maybe the most important part of the Patriots offense this year. Not that you want to have 150 passes thrown his way and have him catch another 100 balls like he did last year and almost get killed and have to have 2 or 3 offseason surgeries.
His shoulder.
My God. I mean, that's half the reason why he dropped that ball against the Titans. And if he catches it, they probably win. I think he's going to be so damn important for Stidham to have an outlet to try to teach it. Like, think about how much Edelman learned from Brady. Think about how much Edelman can hopefully pass on to Stidham. How reliable he is. He can still get open. Yeah, he's not the same Edelman as Super Bowl 49 or 51 Edelman, but he can still get open, and he can do a lot for him. Because if you're going to wait for Sanu to get open or N'Keal Harry to find the right spot, good luck. That kid's going to get killed.
That's going to take a while waiting for those guys to get open. But I just look at Edelman, and if he actually does, and you said he said basically the stuff on social media, et cetera, but there's no way that Belichick would ever trade him to the Buccaneers. There's no chance
Zero
that he's going to do anything to help Tom Brady. No chance whatsoever
Zero.
That he would actually do that. 617-779-7937, the number. Brian Barrett and Fitzy with you. Let's check in with Chris. He's in Danvers. What's up, Chris?
Hey, guys. How's it going? First of all, it should be Fitzy and Danielle every morning. The other guy is dreadful. But I'm calling in. I cannot believe my ears when I listen to all this Brady bashing when Belichick, what was Belichick with the Patriots before Brady showed up? Like 6-13,
5-11 his first 12. Year.
Yeah, five and 13.
Yeah, it was 5-13. by all accounts, our roster is between 17 and 20th in the NFL right now. He underpaid Brady $85 to $100 million over his career. We're up against the
hold on, but Chris, isn't that a good thing that he underpaid Brady for all those years because the rest of the roster was good? I don't know how that's an indictment.
That's because Brady was willing to take less money.
Sure, but I don't know how that's an indictment on Belichick.
No, it's that's not the indictment. The fact that Brady's been the spackle for years, covering over all the holes, because Belichick is the greatest X and O coach who ever lived. He is a horrific general manager. 16, I'd give him a D. 17, I'd give him a T-. 18, I would give him maybe a C-.
Well, hold on. 17, you give him a D-. 17, you give him a D-. The year that they traded for Brandon Cooks, they had an incredible offense. You give him a D-- that year?
I'm talking about the draft.
Okay, well, the draft's only, Chris, hold on. The draft is only one portion of being a general manager. He gets no credit for guys like Stephon Gilmore, trading for a guy like Kyle Van Noy. How does that not factor into the equation?
So right now, Fitzy just called it a bag of bones and leftovers. So that is our...
that's the offense, not the defense.
That's our roster. Right.
Okay.
We got a quarterback. We're paying $800,000. Yet we're up against the salary cap
for one year, and then you're going to have over $100 million.
Well, Chris, hold on. There is that one point you're forgetting. You're forgetting that in terms of them being cap strapped this year, you have the $13.5 million in dead money for Brady. There's all the dead money that they have to carry because of the Antonio Brown contract. And obviously, which sucks because that was a move that they made to try to help spur last year's offense or light a spark under it, and obviously it worked
for
a week.
That's because they haven't drafted a wide receiver since Terry Glenn. I don't understand how.
What about Deion Branch? Is he good?
I'm sorry, 15 years ago. At best, he is a D general manager.
Edelman Decent.
Let's run the show. He lets him run the show. He's got total keys to the whole operation. Nobody questions him. And you guys are beating up Tom Brady, the greatest quarterback who's ever played the game, has brought this. I got season tickets in 1993. Watched the whole thing. And you guys think it's Brady's fault that this team is in the spot it's in now?
No, never said that. Never said that, Chris. Chris, all I said was it's not a good idea to give that type of quarterback at that age multi-years. It doesn't make sense. And I appreciate the call. Chris, hold on 1 second. His line's open at 617-779-7937.
It's okay to disagree. It's all right. Not every single call needs to be like, hey, thanks, guys.
This is the thing that irritates me. Okay, so the past year, a year and a half, okay, the past two off seasons, I could look at the fact that Belichick has not done a great job putting the team together. But the rest of the time he's been here, it's been pretty damn good. Outside of what, maybe 06, when did Brady not have the proper weapons? Because everyone points out, oh, he's missing out on all these receivers in the draft. Okay, well, he had Gronk for a decade. Mm-hmm. He had Amendola for, what, 5-6 years? He had Edelman. So he at least had two of those three guys for basically the whole decade. Oh, yeah. Oh, by the way, in 16, they get Martellus Bennett, who works out as well. You look at the defensive side of the ball. People want to criticize, oh, he doesn't draft corners well. Okay, well, he signs a guy like Stephon Gilmore. Malcolm Butler's an undrafted guy. J.C. Jackson's an undrafted guy. Jonathan Jones is an undrafted guy. So I don't understand what the issue is with the roster building, because he misses out on a couple of draft picks. Like, that's this big indictment on Bill Belichick. I just don't understand it.
Right, and the fact that Isaiah can't draft a tackle. Well, last time he drafted Matt Light's replacement, he turned out to be pretty good and cashed in when he went to the Giants. Yes, I understand Isaiah Wynn's had trouble staying on the field, but Belichick delegated most of that responsibility to the greatest offensive line coach in history, who has taken people like Marcus Cannon, a guard, flipped him to right tackle. The guy goes through the non-Hodgkin's lymphoma and then turns out to be a rock on the line for nearly 8 years. I mean, it's an easy knock to make on Belichick as well. And look, if you want to drive yourself crazy, go back and look at all those different drafts and see who was like one, two, or three picks behind where the Patriots took people like Chad Jackson or Rozai Dowling. You'll want to poke your eyes out. You'll want to pull a complete Equus and gouge your eyes out. But at the same time, when you turn around, like you said, and see all the diamonds in the rough the guys picked up, like, okay, so maybe somebody should take the keys away from Belichick when it comes time to taking a wide receiver in the first three rounds, or somebody else should do it for him. But you can't say that it's been a bad roster or that Brady's been the glue. I think Tom Brady has helped cover up for a lot of the deficiencies that Bill Belichick may have shown as general manager or even as head coach in game sometimes. But you have to also admit Bill Belichick has done a hell of a job of coaching a team when Tom Brady hasn't necessarily shined, vis-a-vis absolutely flummoxing the Rams when Brady was having a tough time playing quarterback in Super Bowl 53 until, of course, he did his thing. And, you know, he and Gronk's final catch will be something we'll remember forever.
Yeah, well, it's this thing that pisses me off, too, about, like, the cornerbacks. All right, well, was it not good enough to give up a seventh-round pick for Aqib Talib? Was it not good enough to rent Darrell Revis for a year? Was it not good enough to then have Stephon Gilmore, who, oh, by the way, remember this, Fitzy, when they signed Stephon Gilmore to the big contract, everybody here was killing the deal. Oh, it's a dumb deal. You overpaid Stephon Gilmore.
Let me show you all the highlights of people running past him and up in Buffalo. That guy sucks. He's been a bust ever since he left South Carolina. What are they doing not paying Butler?
I think he chose wisely.
Yeah, okay, so he missed on a couple of receivers through the years. Okay, so he has a soft spot. So does everybody across the NFL. And by the way, people referencing the roster, yeah, it wasn't great last year in terms of the offensive personnel. But for the last decade, outside of last year, it was a top 5 to 10 roster in the league every single year. Mm-hmm. Every single year. All right, the number is 617-779-7937 if you want to join us. We'll get you trending in just a second here.
OMF. Weekdays from 2 to 6. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Here's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. Major League Baseball and the Players Association have agreed on some stipulations that must happen before the start of the 2020 season. The season will not get underway until there are no government restrictions on mass gatherings. The reason for that, of course, is the league wants to be able to play in front of fans, but the commissioner could, however, still consider neutral sites. The league would also wait until there are no travel restrictions throughout the U.S. and Canada. John Heyman reporting it's possible that the league could expand the postseason from 10 teams to 14 teams in 2020. The NFL owners will vote next week on expanding the playoffs to 14 teams. It's expected to pass, and it's supposed to start in the 2020 season. The extra team means there will only be one team in each conference with a bye. That's what's trending now on WEI and WEI.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
You're locked in to the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Tom Brady's kind of the finishing touch. You know, he's the icing on the top of the cake here as far as kind of just bringing everything together for kind of a young, immature team that doesn't know how to win. And hey, the head coach can only lead so much. You need guys like this. But yeah, Mike, I don't expect like big time superstars. I don't think Jadeveon Clowney is going to call down to Tampa and be like, hey, I'll play for $5 million less just to play with Tom Brady. No, he might want to play with Tom Brady, but he's not crazy and he's not going to do that. So yeah, there is only so much money to go around.
All right, that was Chris Sims earlier this week on Pro Football Talk. Of course, does the show with Mike Florio, 617-779-7937. Remember, there was that reporting that players were contacted, the Buccaneers, or contacting the Buccaneers after Tom Brady signed there. I didn't see any big-name guys mm-hmm. that really got after that.
I thought by this point we would have seen a couple other players. Yeah, supposedly the Buccaneers were becoming the team where everyone wanted to go like, hey, you know, tell my agent, tell the manager to give him a call and say, I'll play for less because I think they're going to go to the Super Bowl. You know, a guy like Deion Lewis, when he got cut free for doing nothing but making money the past 2 years, should feel guilty about the checks that he took from Tennessee the past 2 years. I could see a guy like him going down there, little reclamation project, try to be an outlet receiver for Brady. Maybe he could revive things. I thought Tampa would have maybe contacted the Jets to see if Le'Veon Bell was available because I know he and Todd What the hell is the coach's name? Not
Todd Adam Bowles. Gase?
No, Adam Gase. Sorry, that's right. Yeah. Todd Bowles used to be the coach there. He and Adam Gase don't get along. That's not a fit. Or that maybe Melvin Gordon would have gone there on a prove-it deal to try to chase a ring. Yeah, that just doesn't seem to make a lot of sense.
Yeah, although they already have enough weapons for Brady. And the other portion of this is the defense was kind of underrated last year mm-hmm. because of the fact that the quarterback turned the ball over like 35 times. Sue did end up signing back with them. So they get plenty of
Brady
weapons.
Brady and Sue are on the same team finally.
Yeah, after all these years.
After all those years.
Yeah, by the way, that number I was referencing earlier about Brady against pressure. So this is from ESPN Sports and Info. Brady had a passer rating of 42.5 under pressure last year, the worst of the decade.
Mm-hmm.
That was also 28th in the league. By the way, his number in 2018 against pressure was 10th in the league. So he went from 10th in the league against pressure to 28th in the league last year. Now, I understand that there's some other circumstances, the offensive lines, the receivers, and all that. But I would look at the fact that Brady did struggle against pressure last year, and it was obvious. Like, you could see it when you were watching the games.
Now, what percentage of his ranking versus pressure is Brady's ability to find the open guy versus what percentage is guys just weren't getting open? Like, what's Brady going to do Sanu runs the wrong
sure.
route or Harry's in the wrong, you know?
Sure. The reason I point out the number is this is what he had last year. Mm-hmm. So if it happens again in Tampa and the numbers go down, then I'm wondering if people will give Belichick some credit for saying, okay, Belichick actually saw the fact that Brady was fading a little bit, mm-hmm. and we can point back to this number that started, the trend started in the 2019 season, and if it carries over to 2020, you can't really use the excuse of, well, he didn't have weapons, because
Bingo.
Now he has the weapons at his disposal.
And again, this is what, I mean, I still think if the rumors are true, and Brady was talking to Antonio Brown during Super Bowl week about, hey, keep your profile low, keep your nose clean, like, let's try to get you up, that means Brady is probably thinking, I'm going somewhere else. I still think that Brady knew weeks in advance. If Fourier is on the afternoon show talking about the fact that he had heard that Tampa told him that an offer was coming and Brady knew that he had that in his back pocket, then why couldn't he just say, like, hey, Patriots, pay me my money or I'm going? He may just not have wanted to have come back in the first place. If you're Brady and you're going to look at what the Patriots have and know what even a decent check from them is going to do to their ability to bring in more talent around you and sign other players to bolster the team on both sides of the ball versus Tampa, who had $90 million in salary cap flexibility, and they still had all that talent because Godwin is still on his rookie deal and Brate just took a pay cut and O.J. Howard's on his rookie deal and Mike Evans, no matter how much he's getting paid, and it's a lot, it's still a bargain. Why wouldn't you want to go someplace where the talent around you is going to enhance your statistics and make you look better when individual performance at that point is paramount to almost anything else? It just seems to make sense that he made the right choice for him.
Yeah, I completely agree with that, because there's another portion of this as well is, okay, he doesn't have to sing for supper anymore. It must right. have been weird for him and Don Yee, where it's like, okay, 2 years, $50 million guaranteed. Oh, yeah, then we get this additional $9 million in incentive. Wait, that's easy? It was that easy? Okay, if we win a playoff game, we get more money.
$50 million guaranteed in a no-income tax state?
Right.
And Mike Evans and Chris Godwin and O.J. Howard and Cameron Brate, where do I sign?
Yeah, so that's why I don't blame Brady at all for leaving. Nope. I wouldn't have been taking pay cuts again when you have that opportunity out there. And the other thing is, remember it from this criteria. If Brady comes back here next year and he plays with a below market value contract, if you will, and his numbers are similar to the numbers he put up last year, Belichick's moving on from the player. And the market, remember, he didn't have a great market this year. All he had was really, at the end of this, it turned out to be what? Tampa and the Chargers?
Mm-hmm.
The Raiders, maybe, although then they went out and they signed Marcus Mariota. Now, maybe part of that was they realized that they weren't going to get Brady. But there was not a lot of teams out there. Remember, at first it was like, oh, the Niners are going to be. No, they weren't interested. The Tennessee Titans went with Tannehill. So could you imagine if Brady had another year like this, in terms of the numbers, what the market would be? So he had to make sure, because his goal, he stated multiple times, he wants to play until he's 45. He had to make that decision. So I don't blame him whatsoever. And it must have been that negotiation must have been refreshing.
And probably pretty quick and easy, too. At that point, if you're Brady and you want the Raiders to bid and you think there's going to be a bigger market and you're thinking it would be fun to go to Tennessee because they have a loaded roster and they were a couple of throws away from maybe going to the Super Bowl last year, only to see them like sign with Tannehill and then the Raiders stick with Carr and Mariota. If anything else, it shouldn't be not working out a deal with the Patriots. It should be stuff like that that should light a fire under Brady's ass, as opposed to like, thanks for not believing in me, Patriots. I always wanted to see Tom Brady, my favorite quarterback, my favorite Patriot, my favorite athlete, my favorite everything, finish his career in the same uniform he started it in. I always wanted him to go box to wire with the Patriots. But once they screwed up, and I think Belichick and Kraft mismanaged and bungled the negotiations with him last year maybe or the year before that, but once they got to the point that they did and there was some supper singing and they didn't have the same talent around him, I'm happy to see him go there at this point. I know it sounds strange, but like I'm about as much a Tom Brady fan as I am a Patriots fan. Now I get to watch my favorite football team do what they've needed to do for a long time, which is pull the Band-Aid off, redevelop, and start fresh. And at the same time, I get to watch Tom Brady almost play like living Madden with some of the best talent in the league.
Yeah.
It's not optimal, but it ain't a bad situation.
Brian Barrett and Fitzy with you. The number is 617-779-7937. Let's get to Brad. He's in San Diego. What's up, Brad?
Hey, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
What's up, buddy?
Tom made the right decision. Absolutely. Bill made the right decision as well. There's no way Tom was winning another Super Bowl with the Pats, not with the weapons he lacks. They didn't have the money to go after anything more, really, other than trying to pick somebody up in the draft. So I'm okay with that. I do wish that Tom stayed in a Patriot jersey the whole way, but, you know, Tom had to make his choice. And I think he made the right choice because I think he has a chance to win in Tampa Bay. I really do.
Yeah.
And I want to see him go out with another. I want to see him go out with his seventh ring. Absolutely. A previous caller mentioned, would you trade the perfect season for the comeback?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely not.
You
would? Absolutely not. I would not. And the reason why is because what it did was it propelled them to keep going back to Super Bowl and win a couple more. If they had won that perfect season.
You don't think they would have been back if they won that, if they were 16-0, whatever, or 17-0? You don't think they would have gone back to another Super Bowl?
They would have gone back to another Super Bowl, but that just fired up Brady, and I believe it fired up Belichick as well. And, yeah, they got screwed. They got screwed big time. Mike Carey, he missed the hold on Green, and he was so fixated on should I call Eli down or not. He didn't even see the hold. And he brags about how he made the right decision, and he's so proud of himself. He's from San Diego, so I hear his baloney all the time. But honestly, it did propel the Patriots to more greatness. And I'll take the extra Super Bowl rings. Absolutely.
Yeah, appreciate the phone call, Brad. I don't believe that if the Patriots had won that Brady and Belichick wouldn't have been motivated for more just because they reached 19-0, the perfect season.
No, I still think they would have. I think both of them just don't ever want to stop winning.
Right, and I understand that Brady got hurt in 08, but it took them 4 years to get back to another Super Bowl. It wasn't like they immediately went back and like ripped off 2-3 in a row. It took them a couple of years to get back to that level. So I don't think it was like, well, if they went 19-0, the fire would have been out. They never would have had that motivation.
They just would have gotten fat and lazy. It would have been like rewarding, you know, with getting a giant contract and sitting back and cashing checks.
I don't know how most people agree with you on this. 19-0 is so much better than the 28-3 comeback.
Man.
I don't. 19-0, you're legitimately
from the depths.
No argument.
Because 19-0, because all you expected was greatness, and then it just you would have stayed on that same emotional like plateau, if you will. It couldn't have gotten much better. There would have just been cool T-shirts that we didn't have to send to Central America. We would have read the Shaughnessy book, and we would have had that entitled feeling of greatest team ever. There's nothing like the feeling of being in the depths of despair, and then. Within an hour's time, turning that around and knowing the ultimate joy. I mean, 28-3 is the greatest. It is the greatest sporting event. It is the greatest sporting moment. It is the greatest sporting accomplishment.
Yeah, but if they lost that game, you could have said, oh, well, they already had a perfect team in 07 that went 19-0. The best team in NFL history.
Yeah, but now they're like
we had the best comeback.
But anything's possible. I mean, they literally fulfilled Kevin Garnett's words 9 years later.
Yeah. 617-779-7937. Let's get to Jeff. He's in Chelmsford. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure. What's up, Jeff?
So, you know, I've been listening to some of the calls. By the way, this is my first time calling into you guys. I've called into the other show, so enjoy your show, guys. It's great.
Thanks.
But I really, one of the previous callers was talking about a lot of disrespect to Tom. And I agree with that. I think the reality is there is no dynasty without Tom Brady. And Belichick is a great coach, no doubt. But the intangible, the X factor, that's Tom Brady. And we don't have a dynasty. We don't have a 28-3 comeback without Tom Brady. What other quarterback could engineer that?
Right. Nobody's disputing that, Jeff. The only point that I was making is that at this point where Brady was looking for multi-years, it doesn't make sense for Belichick to give him that extension. If you bring Brady back next year with the team that is around Brady, what are the Patriots? They're not beating the Ravens. They're not beating the Chiefs. Heck, the Titans are better than you. So what's the point?
Well, and I agree with that. And my personal opinion is I think Tom checked out a while ago. That's just my personal opinion because I do think that they did not – I think for all he brought to the organization and all he did, he made a lot of concessions throughout the years, took pay cuts, et cetera. I would have liked to have seen them in the twilight of his career surround the guy with the best possible talent you can. You know, you at least owe the guy that much. You know, don't play the nickel and dime games trying to save money. You know, Tom Brady has done more with less than any other quarterback in history.
That's for sure.
And at least in the twilight of his career, surround him with some great talent so as you guys pointed out, so he could retire in a Patriots uniform.
But, Jeff, you think that when you say, like, surround Brady with the most talent possible, don't you think Belichick building the best football team that he can build is the equivalent of surrounding Brady with the best possible talent? Because you can score all the points you want. Hell, you could have the most prolific offense in NFL history, but if you go up against a great defense and you can't score – and you don't have a decent defense of your own, then you're S out of luck and you're paddling with your hand going up the creek.
But let's look at that. Let's look at a couple of different games. Let's look at the Miami game at the end of the season.
Oh, please.
Brady put him up by 4 points with a few minutes to go in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And Ryan Fitzpatrick went 80 yards against our defense.
Yeah, that was embarrassing. And Brady, don't forget also, Brady threw a pick six in the game. Now, I heard the Tommy Curran story where he said that everybody was out of position and Brady was almost so confused by how badly his receivers ran the routes that he almost didn't know what to do. But he still threw the ball, so it sucks. But yeah, that was embarrassing for everyone. Let's.
Right, but the bottom line is he put them in a position to win the game, and not just by 3 points, by 4 points, forcing Miami to score a touchdown. And then the other thing I look at is I look at the Eagles-Patriots Super Bowl, which is still a very sore subject with me because I think Belichick cost them that game. His ego and everything else got in the way. Brady threw for 500 yards and they scored 30-something points. How do you lose a game? Your defense couldn't stop them once?
No, literally, I think they made the Eagles punt once, and the Patriots didn't punt a single time in that game. What happens is they've admitted to, first, I think that Matt Patricia was the most overrated component of the past two decades.
Oh, he's doing great in Detroit.
Oh, he's fantastic, and everyone loves him, too. just talk to Darius Slay. Everybody loves Patricia. So you have a bad game plan. You let your personal feelings get in the way, I believe, and you bench Malcolm Butler for personal reasons, not professional reasons, though he was having a down season and was checked out. And Belichick has admitted to, or at least stories have snuck out, that they completely devalued Nick Foles and thought there was no way he was going to be able to have the game that he had. Well, if they're going to come out and Doug Peterson's going to coach the game of his life, they're going to hang him high and let him fly and just go for it, which is the way you have to beat the Patriots, and you're going to underperform, and you're going to trot out Jordan Richards and Johnson Badamosi when even Malcolm Butler at 80% is 10 times better than those guys, then you're going to get embarrassed on the national stage.
Which they did.
Yep, they did. Yeah. Jeff, I will say this.
Yeah, appreciate the call, Jeff.
That was a humble pie serving for Belichick of epic proportions, but he did kind of redeem himself the next year by coaching the crap out of that game and absolutely embarrassing McVay and stuffing Goff in Super Bowl 53.
Yeah, that was kind of like his Picasso. Brady would have had his Picasso. I guess he's had multiple Picassos, like the fact the Atlanta comeback, the Seattle comeback, and
Tom,
all that.
Brady, you know who bums me out, Barrett, who didn't get a Super Bowl ring for Super Bowl 52?
Brady?
Gronk.
Oh, Gronk. He was
unstoppable. Go back and watch Gronk's highlights from the second half of Super Bowl 52. He was unstoppable. They had no answer for him.
Chris Long has admitted, because remember, he was on that Eagles team. He's admitted that they had no chance of stopping the Patriots. He said the only thing we could hope for is a turnover, and they ended up getting it.
If Brandon Graham doesn't get that ball, they win that game.
Yeah, they have no chance of stopping the Patriots. That is still one of the most perplexing things. I don't think we'll ever know the true story. Now, I know people have alluded to certain things. I don't think we're ever going to find out.
We've heard some things. Yeah, you got an idea, and it's not, you know what? No matter what you say, no matter what you hear, no matter what you share, it ain't going to change the result.
All right, Brian Barrett and Fitzy with you. The number is 617-779-7937. I do want to get to the other comment that Rodney Harrison made about the fact that maybe it's not just about Brady and Bill. I found that compelling because everybody's having this debate about Brady and Bill. Made a lot of sense what Rodney Harrison said earlier this week. We'll get into that. Brian Barrett and Fitzy with you on WEI.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This is the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Tom would not tell Coach Belichick no if Coach Belichick walked up to Tom and asked him to stay. And, you know, and to me, you know, everybody wants to make this about, I heard Randy Moss on television, ESPN, and he said, hey, for me, this show, this is going to tell me if Tom Brady was 100% responsible or if Coach Belichick was responsible for the success. Why can't, and that's really unfair. Think about this, Dan. It's really unfair for people to say just those two names because we had so many great players. You think Tom Brady was winning championships without Willie McGinnis, Richard Seymour, Ty Warren, and Teddy Bruschi? No. But they try to make it all about Belichick, all about Brady. No, it was a team thing. And we don't have to separate these guys. These guys were unbelievable together, and I think they're going to continue to be good.
All right, that was Rodney Harrison this morning on his show, The Safety Blitz. You can hear it every Saturday morning right here on WEI. So, interesting comments from Rodney Harrison. Brian Barrett and Fitzy with you. So, first of all, before we get into his second part, the fact that he called Randy Moss out, I really appreciate that. That he said, we're going to find out if it's Brady or Belichick. We're not going to find out. So, if Brady sucks next year, it's because he's 43. It's not because he needed Bill Belichick to play at a high level. It's because he's older. If he doesn't play well, it's not going to be because he couldn't survive without Bill. If he left the Patriots when he was 34 or even 37, the way his career has gone, he still would have been an MVP caliber player. Yeah, it would only be because of his age if he sucks next year.
He was pretty great at Michigan. I remember being a fan of him in college ball. I remember that Orange Bowl where they came back and beat Alabama. Like, he was pretty great. And Lloyd Carr obviously called it the dumbest coaching decision in history not to go with Tom Brady. And everyone kind of fell in love with him immediately when they saw him in 2000. And there's a reason why he stuck around and they carried four quarterbacks. And there's a reason why he was able to work his way up to being the number two quarterback in 2001, though there was so little tape on him. The guy is great on his own. Here's the crazy thing. Belichick's also pretty great, too.
But Barrett, it doesn't get clicks. It doesn't get you to call in. It doesn't move newspapers if people even still read physical copies of them anymore to just say, like, why can't it be both? It just doesn't. Nobody wants to sit on that fence and say they made great music together because it has to be one or the other. That's the way this always works.
Yeah, well, my whole point is this with his first point is that if Brady went somewhere at 34 and he wasn't good and his team wasn't good and they weren't winning divisions, mm-hmm. then you would have a legitimate argument to say, all right, Belichick elevated Brady, but now he's 43. The only reason he wouldn't be good is because of his age. It would mm-hmm. have nothing to do with not having Bill. But his second point was even more fascinated. I would be pissed, too, if I was Rodney Harrison, or he mentions Willie McGinnis, yeah. et cetera. Everybody talks about Brady and Belichick. It's like there were some other good players that played here.
Yeah, like I could think of five guys who legitimately should say, yo, wait a second, before we go down this, was it Brady or was it Belichick hole, McGinnis, Rodney Harrison, Ty Law, Teddy Bruschi, Adam Vinatieri, or how about Gronk? Who yeah. was more important to the second half of this double dynasty than Rob Gronkowski? Unstoppable in Super Bowl 49, catches the pass, touchdown pass over KJ Wright, big catches on the touchdown drives in the second half. Obviously, he wasn't there for Super Bowl 51, but he was a monster in all the surrounding seasons. Almost single-handedly brought them back with that amazing catch and was open for the two-point conversion against the Broncos. Super Bowl 53, his final catch as a New England Patriot, sets up the only touchdown of the game. Like, and like we said earlier, basically was the offense in Super Bowl 52. Like, Gronk was as important as any other player or coach in the second half of the dynasty.
Yeah, not to mention the fact that out of the other players outside of Brady, the only guy that has an argument to be the best ever at his position outside of Vinatieri, who's a mm-hmm. kicker, is Rob Gronkowski. None of these other guys, Ty Law, you can't have that argument with him. As great as Ty Law was, he's not the best cornerback in the history of the NFL. Rob Gronkowski, you can make a very compelling argument. The only thing working against him to be the best tight end of all time would be longevity when people mm-hmm. throw in Tony Gonzalez and Antonio Gates. But there's no question that Gronkowski was the most dominant tight end. He has the best season in the history of the tight end position.
Period. End of story. And I would just like to offer this as well. I think I'm not sure who brought it up on what show recently over the past 2 weeks, but I believe the drop off in talent from Tom Brady to, let's say it is Jared Stidham this year. Now, we're not talking about Tom Brady 30 years ago. In his 30s. We're not even talking about Tom Brady three, four years ago.
2019 Brady.
2019 Tom Brady to 2020 Jared Stidham. That talent drop-off is not as drastic as the drop-off of Rob Gronkowski to Anderson, Izzo, Watson, and Lacoste Incorporated. The drop-off at the tight end position was one of the most drastic, dare I say, insulting drop-offs in history. Even Gronk at 75%, which is what he played at basically in 2018, was 1,000 times better than the worst performing tight end group in the NFL last year, hands down.
That's a very compelling argument.
Jared Stidham could go for 23 touchdowns and 14 picks this year. Let's say 15 picks and 24 touchdowns this year. That's not that far off from what Tom Brady did in 2019. And while he's not Tom Brady and doesn't read defenses and call out blitzes and move coverage the same way and doesn't have all the same tricks and on-field savvy Brady does, what they did at tight end last year was just inexcusable. If anything probably drove Tom out of town, it was the fact that they had nobody to throw to at the position, and they basically forewent it the entire season.
Yeah, the one thing I would say to that, though, is his buddy kind of screwed him over. Remember, because they were in on the Jared Cook sweepstakes, and yep. then Jared Cook wanted the commitment that he was going to be the number one tight end, and the Patriots couldn't give it to them because Gronk waited so long to announce his retirement, and then he wanted to stay with his original commitment to Jared Cook. Could you imagine if they had Jared Cook last year? Could have elevated the offense. And that's something that
AFC champion. I can. AFC championship.
I do have a lot of sympathy with Brady when it comes to that, because Brady is the best player in the history of the NFL throwing that seam route to the tight end.
Mm-hmm.
And that's literally his best pass, and it was taken out of his arsenal. Like, the thing he does probably better than anything else is that ball to the tight end. And when he had Rob Gronkowski, it's the best combination we've ever seen in NFL history. And that was just out of the offense. He tried to throw to Ben Watson, but Ben Watson isn't
fast
enough.
Watson dropped it against the Titans. Yeah. Lacoste was never, I mean, please. It's to even mention them at the tight end position is just an insult to the position itself, let alone the legend of Gronk.
617-779-7937. Let's check in with Bob in Marblehead. What's up, Bob?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. In full transparency, I wasn't a big fan of Tom Brady off the field over the last couple of years, even after wins. And if that were Manning back in the day, we'd all be zooming on him. I think we've seen with Bird, and I think we've now seen it point where they need great players to keep playing great. And that's what we've seen, in my opinion, with our quarterback. And I think in a year, I think if he were here, we would have seen Tom Brady be benched, and that would not have been good for anybody.
Mm. Yeah, and Bob, that's a great point, and I appreciate the phone call. It's a really interesting point.
Great players make players great. I like
that. Well, no, the second part of that is we're not going to have to live through the end of the Brady era where maybe he's not good anymore, right?
Right.
So like Hakeem Olajuwon going to the Raptors, nobody remembers that, or Patrick Ewing on the Sonics. We're not going to have to live through Brady being bad as a quarterback, which I guess could be a blessing in disguise that we're not going to have to actually witness Bill Belichick remove Tom Brady for Jarrett Stidham.
Do you want, hey, everyone who want, yes, thank you for bringing this up. Everyone who wanted Brady to finish, I wish he did as well, but everyone who has lost their mind that Brady has walked away now, did you want to see Tom Brady possibly go 7-9 next year? Would you feel better, Barrett, as a Tom Brady fan, as a Patriots fan, if they have what they have and they are what they are, and next year they somehow go 8-8? Would Tom Brady finishing 8-8 on the Patriots make you feel better with him only wearing one jersey his whole career, or would you rather be 1 year removed from an incredible, improbable Super Bowl run, still a playoff trip this year, and then see him go, you know, light it up for a season and then play decently in Tampa Bay and then call it a career?
I would not want to see Tom Brady end on that type of note. As you mentioned, the first part, finishing 8-8 or finishing 9-7 and it being the offense that he had last year, and it looked like he was pulling teeth. He looked miserable. He wasn't having fun. I'm all for Tom Brady going for Tampa Bay and trying to experiencing something different at the end of his career, because
he had to dye his hair so he became unrecognizable. He was so unhappy with himself this past season.
It's going to be more enjoyable. I remember the fact. Remember he said he's the most miserable. He told Chris Collinsworth he's the most miserable 8-0 quarterback in the history of the NFL. So he wanted to leave. Now he has his opportunity to play somewhere else. And for Tom Brady to extend his career to 45, this is the best decision, because his numbers were going to be similar to the way they were last year with the receiving core that he has at his disposal.
Right. And another year. I mean, how would Tom Brady all of a sudden walk in and just be like, hey, guys, Jacoby, Nikhil, Lacoste. Hey, remember that grumpy old bastard that came in here last year and was that miserable quarterback, 8-0, whatever else? Well, guess what, guys? I've totally turned over a new leaf. I can't wait to work with you guys. Come on out to my ranch in Montana. Yeah. LFG. No, wasn't happening.
All right, if you want to join us, the number is 617-779-7937. I do want to get to this. So apparently the Patriots were sniffing around on another young quarterback. Is that a bad sign for Jarrett Stidham? We'll get into that in just a little bit right here on WEI.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!